Hello and welcome to our program. We're in lesson number 2 on earnestly contending for the faith. It's important to understand that we can be contending without being contentious, and that's very important. By way of review, contending for the faith, we saw in our previous lesson in verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Jude was a bondslave. A bondslave was someone who, by choice, gave himself over completely to his master. Slaves had some rights, and they had to be released after a certain time. However, if a person wanted to stay on with his master, he would go to him and say, I want to be a bondslave. Now, a bondslave had no rights. The master could do anything he wanted with him. He had no rights. Jude said, I'm a bondslave of Jesus Christ. So we see his love for the Lord. He is writing to those who are willing to be a part of the remnant that are sanctified or set apart for the Lord, and those who desire to walk worthy of their calling. In verse 2, he said, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. It's important. Again, he is writing to those who are willing to be a part of the remnant. He said, you're going to need mercy for those who do not deserve any mercy. You're going to need peace, and you're going to need love to be multiplied. Now, these things are byproducts. If we're going to have the peace that passes understanding, if we're going to be able to love the unlovely, it's a byproduct of being willing to be set apart to let God use us however he wants to use us in this age of apostasy. Verse 3, we saw, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Once again, it's not contending against the apostasy. That's prophesied. That's coming. We should be earnestly contending for the faith. Verse 4 says the reason, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we get on further in this study, we'll see that he deals with three groups and he deals with three individuals. A group is a number of people who work together or share certain beliefs, and those three groups we will see in this chapter are God's people, angels that left their first estate, and sodomites. Then when it comes to individuals, an individual is someone who is not part of a group. And in this study, Jude looks at Cain, Balaam, and Kor. In verse 5, we read, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. The second group, we read, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And the third group, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So he deals first of all with God's people out of Egypt. He said, I will therefore put you in remembrance. He said, I want you to stop and think. Though you once knew this, sometimes we forget things we shouldn't forget, that the Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now the people, Numbers 13, we find these people who, God's people, Israelites, we find them checking out the promised land. And we need to understand, this is so important, we sing these hymns about the promised land being heaven. It's not heaven. The promised land is not heaven. The promised land is the victorious Christian life on earth. They crossed over the Jordan, which is a picture of death to self, and then they fought the battle of Jericho. There's no battles in heaven. This is having the victorious Christian life on earth. Well, they're checking that out. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and we read that they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. They said, no, we're not going to do this. They said, we're not able. No, they were able, but they just didn't want to do it. Oh, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And so in all of this, what they did was they rejected the victorious Christian life. That's what it is an example of. So he says in verse 5 here that he destroyed them that believed not. Now this is important. Vine's Bible Dictionary says the idea is not extinction, but ruin, loss, not of being, but of well-being. This is clear, is the example that we have of the marring of the wineskins in Luke chapter 5. He said, and no man putteth new wine in old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall be perished. Now, they're not perished in the sense they're not there anymore. They are rendered useless, like these believers who said, no, we're not going into the victorious Christian life. We're going to stay here in the wilderness. It is used metaphorically of spiritual destitution. We see in Luke chapter 15, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he found it? Same word here as destroyed in Jude 1:5. As in perished in Luke 5:37, he said, go after that which is lost until he find it. And then in Luke 15:6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. And so it's not in the sense in verse 5 of Jude 1 of destroyed in the sense that we might think of it today, but it's just a case of being destroyed for use. They are rendered useless by their choice. We see they murmured and they rebelled in Numbers 14:2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. In verse 4, they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. So what was the result of that? Numbers 14:23, God said, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Concerning those that brought up the evil report, he said, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. It's a very serious thing to reject having the victorious Christian life. Now, it's very plain, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Romans 15, we read, for whatsoever things were written aforetime for our were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And it says in Hebrews chapter 3:7-13, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You're going to reject that victorious Christian life on this earth? You're going to cross the line where God said, all right, they're not going to get it even though they want it. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 18, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? Verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. 1 Corinthians 10:5, for with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Hebrews 4, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And so we see here the first group that Jude deals with is God's people. Again, verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them or rendered them useless that believed not. The second group that we'll look at here is in verse 6, the angels which kept not their first estate, and then the third group that we will look at, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them. We'll take that up here in our next lesson. Be sure and be with us.